हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे। ओके सो राम रॉय प्लीज यू कैन लीड अस इन द संस्कृत ओम नमो
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 33 द रासा डांस वर्स 39 Vikriditam Vraja
Vraja
Vadubir
Vadubir
Idam
Idam
Cha Vishno
No
Shadadanvito
Shadadanvito
Nushnuyad
Nushnuyad
Ata Varnayed
Varnayed
Ya Bhaktim
Bhaktim
Param
Bhagavati
Pratilabhya
Pratilabhya
Kamam
Ridrogam
Asav Apinoti Achirena
Dira
Vikriditam Braja Vadubir Idam Chavishno
Vikriditam Braja Vadubir Idam Chavishno
Shadanvito Nushnuyad Atta Varnayedya
Shadanvito
Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pati Labdhya Kamam
Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pati Labdhya Kamam
Vidrogam Asapi Noti Achirena Dira
Vidrogam Asapi
Vikriditam Braja Vadubir Idam Chavishno
Vikriditam Braja Vadubir Idam Chavishno
Shadanvito Nushnuyad Atta Varnayedya
Shadanvito
Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pati Labdhya Kamam
Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pati Labdhya Kamam
Vidrogam Asapapi Noti Achirena Dira
Vidrogam Asapapi Noti Achirena
Dira Vikriditam The Sporting Rajavadubi With the young women of Vrindavan Idam This Cha and Vishnu by Lord Vishnu Shradandanvita faithfully Anushnuya hears Ata or Varnayet describes Ya who Bhaktim devotional service Param transcendental Bhagavati unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pratilabhya obtaining Kamam material lust Rit in the heart Rogam the disease Ashu quickly Apinoti he drives away Achirena without delay Dira, sober. Translation. Anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavan will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus he will quickly become sober and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. So, please repeat. Anyone who faithfully hears
or describes
The Lord's playful affairs,
Lord's playful affairs
with the young gopis of Vrindavan,
the young gopis of Vrindavan
will quickly attain the Lord's pure devotional service.
The Lord's pure devotional service.
Thus he will quickly become sober and conquer lust.
Conquer lust.
The disease of the heart.
The disease of the heart.
Purport. The extraordinary power of Lord Krishna's conjugal pastimes is clearly revealed here. Qualitatively, the Lord's spiritual loving pastimes are the diametric opposite of material lusty affairs. So much so that simply by hearing about the Lord's pastimes, a devotee conquers sex desire. By reading pornographic literature or hearing about material romance, we certainly do not conquer sex desire, but rather increase our lust. But hearing or reading about the Lord's conjugal affairs has exactly the opposite effect, because they are of the opposite nature, being purely spiritual. Therefore, it is by the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna that he exhibits his rasa lila within this world. If we become attached to this narration, we will experience the bliss of spiritual love and thus reject the perverted reflection of that love, which is called lust, as nicely put by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter, 59th verse, Param Drishtva Nivartate. Once having directly experienced the Supreme, one will not return to material pleasures. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 33rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Rasa Dance.
You read that really fast. Did everybody pick up on it? Did you catch what was being said? I hope. Om Agnati Mirandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshu Amritam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Hey Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jigapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Sudhi Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Shri Radhika Pranasamam Kanyasim Vishakaki Shikshita Sokhi Sostavam Lilami Tanuch Taritanga Madhurim Anangapuvam Pramami Manjanim Vanchakopatrubhyas Chakripa Sindhubhya Ebacha Patitanam Pavanibhu Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This statement here in the purport qualitatively, the Lord's spiritual loving pastimes are the diametric opposite of material lusty affairs, so much so that simply by hearing about the Lord's pastimes, a devotee conquers sex desire. This statement here, which appears to be the contribution of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, these statements are quite in keeping with the opinion of our predecessor acharyas. So this morning I would like to take a little peek at what Sridhar Swami has to say about these things, what Jiva Goswami has to say about these things, and especially what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has to say in these things, and even more especially what our Srila Prabhupada has to say about these things. Of course, in previous classes, I have, rather exhaustively presented Srila Prabhupada's statements concerning the importance of hearing about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis in different ways from different passages in Srila Prabhupada's books. However, I don't think that it's wrong, since this morning marks the end of our study of the Rasa Panchadhyaya. This is the last verse in the five chapters which deal with Krishna's love dalliances with the gopis. And this is what can be called as the fruit which is being offered by Shukadeva Goswami. He's telling that anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavan will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus he will quickly become sober and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. So it's important for us to acknowledge the super super mundane power of these pastimes when they are heard by someone who at least has enough faith to have the inclination to hear from authorities. Because many people, they will hear from anywhere and anywhere, everywhere. Just like one time Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he told that if someone hears the Bhagavat Katha from a professional reciter of Bhagavatam, then that is very, very good, because, please pay attention to this point, it is very, very good that one should hear from the professional reciters of Bhagavatam, because by such hearing he will amass so much piety that after 1,000,000 lifetimes of such hearing from professional reciters, he will amass so much piety that he will gain the intelligence to only hear from the pure devotees of Krishna. What he is really trying to say is that you, by hearing from the professional reciters of Bhagavatam, you can expect to remain within this material world for at least 1,000,000 lifetimes. And by 1,000,000 lifetimes of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, etc., you may gain the experience which will gradually dawn on you that you're not getting anywhere by hearing from the professional reciters of Bhagavatam, and that you should rather have the inclination to hear from the pure devotee in disciplic succession, in bona fide parampara, who is following the regulative principles of disciplic succession. Then the Bhagavat Katha will have power. Two prerequisites are there. One is the potent speaker, someone who's following the principles of disciplic succession. Primarily, one who has heard Shrotriyam, Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. Shrotriyam means to hear from authorities, receptively hear, not in a challenging spirit, but with submission, with the willingness. With the willingness, submission means to have the willingness to consider the validity of the statements of the acharyas. He must have the willingness to consider that the statements of the acharyas are valid in the matter of one's coming to any conclusion or making a decision concerning any of the truths concerning the progress in spiritual life. So I would like to, before I get into reading, I'm going to read a few things. So if you kindly bear with me, not bear with me, but listen attentively and try to understand and appreciate the viewpoint of our acharyas concerning this subject matter. Today we're not going to discuss, because there's always less and less time to churn out these ideas. So we're not going to get into discussing any Lila Katha, which is perhaps disappointing to some of us, but rather, because in keeping with the verse and purport in the matter of Shukadeva Goswami's answering Parikshit Maharaj's question about the validity of Krishna's apparent reprehensible activities, we will stick to philosophy for the classes. Prabhupada told that Harinam Samkirtan is for the masses and philosophy is for the classes. And Jai Shishi Nitai Nitai Gorari Sam Shishi Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Harinam Samkirtan is for the masses. Philosophy is for the classes. And Lila Kirtan, this is an important point that should be brought out. Lila Kirtan is for the inner circle, the intimate Sajatiya Sangha. So there's a distinction between Lila Kirtan and the presentation of Rasa Lila as it was done by Shukadeva Goswami to the assembly who were gathered about Maharaj Parikshit at the time of his departure from this world. Lila Kirtan is for relishment of the bhavas which are displayed in the course of Krishna's loving dealings with his devotees. So generally, in Lila Kirtan, because it is the bhavas which are to be relished, Hare Krishna, please. Because the bhavas are to be relished, it is expected that those who are absorbed in hearing and chanting Lila Kirtan, that they should have the qualification for relishing the bhavas. So, in Lila Kirtan, there is very little, if any, exposition on the actual philosophy concerning the principles of Sambandha Tattva Gyan, because it's to be assumed that the personages who are thus absorbed in Lila Kirtan must have already gone through those stages in the development of their devotional life. So, therefore, Lila Kirtan, especially Lila Kirtan, which is focused on Krishna's intimate love dalliances with the gopis, this Lila Kirtan especially is not recommended to be indulged in a public assembly, because such Lila Kirtan, which is not coupled with a philosophical exposition, it will not, let's say, help to clarify the doubts or the misunderstandings that may crop up in the heart of persons who are not properly trained in the Vaishnava Siddhanta. However, it is evident by the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that in the assembly of this Bhagavat recital by Shukadev Goswami, there were many non-devotees, smarta brahmanas, karmis, jnanis, yogis, persons who were not, let's say, possessed of a proper devotional disposition, certainly who were not possessed of a proper devotional maturity. So many of these types of people were present, and certainly Shukadev Goswami was aware of that, and certainly he knew that these topics may raise a few eyebrows. However, because there was at least one qualified hearer, Pariket Maharaj, in the assembly, and because there was cooperation between the qualified hearer, means faithful hearer, one who was interested to understand the things from the proper authorities, and who was interested to open the topics of discussion in such a way that all may be benefited. So because all these types of non-devotional elements were present, Pariket Maharaj saw the necessity to raise a few questions which would help to clarify the subject matter, so that in the course of the Lila Katha there would be no misunderstanding among unqualified personages. So this is the difference between Lila Kirtan and Bhagavat Katha, because in the Bhagavat there is ample, let's say, opportunity, ample facility, even in the 10th canto itself, There's ample facility for anartha nivritti. There's ample facility for, let's say, clearing the doubts about the transcendental nature of Krishna's, let's say, appearance and activities, so that one can understand properly. Even in the course of the Rasalila chapter, which is considered to be the, let's say, pinnacle of Bhagavad philosophy, Bhagavad Katha, the summit, in the course of this chapter alone, there is sufficient discussion about Bhagavad Siddhanta, which will help the hearer to properly understand the truth concerning Krishna's transcendental supreme position as the autocratic bhokta or enjoyer, bhoktaram jagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram saridam sarvabhutanam gyatvam mam shantim richtati. These things are all being presented in the course of this very rasa panchadhyaya, so that there will be peace in the heart, enough peace so as not to be agitated by the ignorance which causes the misconceptions about the nature of Krishna's dealings with his devotees. So, anyway, I would like to now refer to Srila Prabhupada's discussion on this topic in the Krishna book. I've presented this small section here before, but then I'll move on to another section. This is at the end of Srila Prabhupada's discussion on the description of the rasa dance in Krishna book. The difficulty is that the whole world is full of mayavadis, and when they become professional reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam, and when people, without knowing the effect of the Mayavad philosophy, hear from such persons, they become confused. Discussion of the Rasalila among people in general is not recommended because they are affected by the Mayavad philosophy, but if one who is advanced explains and people hear from him, certainly the hearers will be gradually elevated to the position of Krishna consciousness and liberated from materially contaminated life. So that's a pretty big but. Generally, it's not recommended. It's not recommended for people who are not following the disciplic succession to speak on the chapters concerning Rasalila, because generally they are infected with Mayavad philosophy, which suggests that we should bring Krishna's Leelas down to mundane Mayic activities, because the Mayavadis, they think that Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's name, Krishna's Leelas are all manifestations of the mundane or Maya. That's why they're called Mayavadis. So, and because they've been preaching in this world considerably for since time immemorial, many people will be affected by this understanding. And when they will hear from such persons, they will become, let's say, further implicated in mundane conceptions of the thing. But Prabhupada says, the big but If one who is advanced explains the thing, and people hear from him, certainly the hearers will gradually be elevated to the position of Krishna consciousness and liberated from materially contaminated life. And he goes on further to say that Shukadeva Goswami concludes this episode of the Rasalila, as we're presently reading in today's verse, by pointing out that if a person hears from the right source about the pastimes of Krishna, who is Vishnu himself, and the gopis, who are expansions of his energy, then he will be relieved of the most dangerous type of disease, namely lust. In other words, one who actually hears the Rasalila will become completely freed from the lusty desire of sex life and elevated to the highest level of spiritual understanding. Generally, because they hear the Rasalila from Mayavadis, and they themselves are Mayavadis, people become more and more implicated in sex life. The conditioned soul should hear the Rasalila dance from an authorized spiritual master and be trained by him so that he can understand the whole situation. Shukadeva Goswami is an authorized spiritual master. So all those persons, karmis, jnanis, yogis, and other non-devotees who were seated in the assembly when he was speaking on this Rasakatha could certainly come to the position of understanding the whole situation from him. Thus, one can be elevated to the highest standard of spiritual life. Otherwise, one will be implicated if you hear from other than the proper representatives of disciplic succession. Material lust is a kind of heart disease, and to cure the material heart disease of the conditioned soul, it is recommended that one should hear, but not from the impersonalist rascals. If one hears from the right sources with right understanding, then his situation will be different. Shukadeva Goswami has used the word Shraddhanvita for one who is trained in spiritual life. Shraddha, or faith, is the beginning. One who has developed his faith in Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Spirit Soul can both describe and hear the Rasalila. Shukadev also used the word anushrinuvat. One must hear from the disciplic succession. Anu means follow, and anu also means always. So one must always follow the disciplic succession and not hear from any stray professional reciter, whether a Mayavadi or an ordinary man. I think that it is not unfitting to point out here that the devotees assembled could hardly be what we could call as Pakka Mayavadis, and that the speakers are not exactly deviant from the principle of disciplic succession. We are endeavoring to follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, who is probably, I would say, the greatest representative of our disciplic succession that ever happened. So I don't think that it is proper to conclude that we will be relegated to the category of stray professional reciters or Mayavadis or ordinary men, but rather because we're making the sincere effort to follow in the footsteps of the predecessor acharyas and to act as an instrument on behalf of the predecessor acharyas, that our hearing and chanting of these pastimes in the assembly will not be, unfruitful in the matter of awakening a proper faith in the hearts of the hearers and chanters. Please remember that Shukadev Goswami exemplifies a devotee or a person who attained perfection by chanting. And Maharaj Parikshit attained perfection by hearing. It is not that Maharaj Parikshit was already perfect and that Shukadev Goswami was already perfect. Of course, we say that he's perfect, but we also see that he is, the exemplar of one who has attained perfection by chanting. So it's understood that he is simultaneously sadhan siddha and nitya siddha. And Parikshit Maharaj also, he attained perfection by faithfully hearing from the bona fide representative of Vyas. Anushruniyat means that one must hear from an authorized person who is in the disciplic succession and is always engaged in Krishna consciousness. When a person hears the Rasalila in this way, the effect will be sure. He will be elevated to the highest position of spiritual life. Shukadev Goswami used two specific words, bhaktim and param. Bhaktim param means execution of devotional service above the neophyte stage. Those who are simply attracted to temple worship but do not know the philosophy of bhakti are in the neophyte stage. That sort of bhakti is not the perfectional stage. The perfectional stage of bhakti or devotional service is completely freed from material contamination. The most dangerous aspect of contamination is lust or sex life. Bhaktim Param, devotional service, is so potent that the more one advances in this line, the more he loses his attraction for material life. One who is actually deriving benefit from hearing the Rasalila chapter surely achieves the transcendental position. He surely loses all traces of lust in his heart by such hearing. So, we would like to also, in that regard, refer to a letter to Hayagriva Prabhu. Hayagriva was one of the early devotees of Srila Prabhupada, who assisted him in his first edition of the translation of Bhagavad Gita. So Hayagriva, in this letter, I'm just going to read to you the last paragraph, but Hayagriva was complaining to Srila Prabhupada that because he felt sexual disturbance, he thought that perhaps he should get married. And Srila Prabhupada, he told that there is one such eligible girl to whom he may be married, and that many of his god brothers, Sasrup Das at that time, and others he mentioned, they were also married, and that they were progressing nicely in Krishna consciousness. And then he got into some few other topics of discussion concerning management. And then he ends with this statement with regard to his question about the disturbance of sexual agitation. So Prabhupada is saying here, another secret of success, and this was on November 8th, of 1968, so we could hardly think that Hayagriva was a most highly elevated Paramahansa if he's feeling sexual disturbances and all these things. So Prabhupada is instructing his sexually disturbed disciple. He says, another secret of success is that when one is very much sexually disturbed, not when he is not at all sexually disturbed, please, but when he is very much sexually disturbed, He should think of Lord Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, and he will forget his sex urge. To think of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, but not to try to imitate. So we've gone at length through this subject matter in the last few verses, wherein Shukadeva Goswami has mentioned that one should not try to imitate the great controllers, the great personalities, neither the Lord who is Parameshvara, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Ekala Ishvara Krishna, Ar Sabhavritya. Neither them nor the devotees of Krishna, who are also considered to be great controllers. Rather than Anukarana, one should be Anusharana. Rather than performing the activities of the great person, in other words, do as I say, not as I do. You know, that is a famous statement in America, at least. We say like that, do as I say, not as I do. Someone could say, then how are you being acharya? You know, you're doing something different and saying something different. But Shukadeva Goswami says that one should do those activities, follow those activities, anukaran, when those activities are in keeping with what they say. Because, in other words, what they say is more important to be followed than what they do. They may do something which is not in keeping with what they say. That you should not follow. But if they're doing something which is in keeping with what they say, that you should follow. So, in other words, not to try to imitate. One should think of the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. If one is very much sexually disturbed, Prabhupada is telling here. So that may be an eye-opener. Of course, if someone is a Mayavadi and or still too much contaminated by the Mayavad philosophy and is trying to interpolate his or her own mundane conceptions about the thing on the pastimes, so much so that one may take inspiration to, put himself in the position of Krishna, who is the enjoyer, and try to prance around with all the mayic representations of the gopis in this world as an imitation Krishna. Then perhaps his remembering the pastimes of the gopis will not be so fruitful. But if one is sincere, now that's up to each individual, how sincere we want to be. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked by a devotee in Washington, D.C., that Srila Prabhupada, how can I be sincere? And Prabhupada says, you can be sincere by being sincere. So it's a question of how sincere you want to be. If we want to be sincere, we can be sincere. If we're sincere and we hear with the intent of searching out the truth and serving the truth, then the hearing will be fruitful and we will not be misled, neither by the misconceptions of others, nor by our own mental concoctions. So here's another one from Srila Prabhupada, which is very nice. This is in 1974 here in Vrindavan. Prabhupada and the devotees, this was before the completion of the Krishna Balaram Mandir, so they were staying at Fogal Ashram. Srila Prabhupada had noticed a Sitaram Kirtan going on constantly across the way from Fogal Ashram. And he reminded us that in Vrindavan, we should try to understand Radha and Krishna. In other words, here he is in Vrindavan, and these people are in Vrindavan, but they're chanting Sitaram, Sitaram, you know. But Prabhupada, he was trying to bring our attention to the fact that we're in Vrindavan, we're not in Ayodhya. So rather than chanting Sitaram and trying to understand Sitaram, our real business is to understand Radha and Krishna. Because this is Radha and Krishna's Lilasthan, it's not Sitaram's Lilasthan. Anyway, it should be noted that why they're coming to Vrindavan is because the understanding is there that in Brajadham, any desire is very easily fulfilled. So there are people who are worshipping Sitaram because they know that here in Vrindavan, that desire can be easily fulfilled. And there are people worshipping Lakshmi Narayan also. And their desires will be easily fulfilled. But they will not attain the realm of Radha and Krishna. They will not attain Brajadham. They will not attain Brajalila. Any more than someone who is hell-bent for material sense gratification while residing in Vrindavan Dham can hope to attain the Brajalilas. So he put Radha and Krishna Lila in proper perspective during the class on March 15th. Pradyumna read the Chaitanya Charitamrita verse, quote, Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the supreme enjoyer in the rasa dance. He is the leader of the damsels of Braja, and all others are simply his associates. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna's business, this is in 1974, and here is Prabhupada giving a class to the devotees who were assembled there. Krishna's business is Rasadi Vilas, dancing with the gopis. He has no other business. People try to imitate Krishna by dancing in ballrooms and nightclubs. Since we are part and parcel of Krishna, we have the same spirit of dancing. But because we are in the material world, the material covering has perverted the dancing propensity. Our dancing and Krishna's dancing are not the same. This perverted reflection inebriates and frustrates us. But in the dancing of Krishna, there's no inebriation, no frustration, because it is not false. It is real. Chid Vilas. He is the enjoyer of the spiritual potency. Srila Prabhupada was enlightening us about our whole purpose in visiting Vrindavan. Quote, those who come to Vrindavan should try to understand Krishna. Krishna exhibits his lila here personally so that you may hear about him and become attracted. Oh, how can I go and play with Krishna? How can I go and dance with Krishna? How can I develop parental affection for Krishna? How can I become a tree or a blade of grass in Vrindavan so that Krishna may trample over me? This is called Krishna Prema. Krishna demonstrates his activities to give facility to the conditioned soul. This is Krishna's business. Why don't you come back to me and dance with me? Why are you rotting in this rotting dance? You want association. You want sporting. Why don't you come to me and take part in my sporting with the cowherd boys? This is the invitation of Krishna. So anyone with intelligence will try to enter into the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Anyone with intelligence, anyone with any intelligence at all, I might add. Anyone with any intelligence at all will try to enter into the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So Prabhupada is beckoning us. He's beseeching us. Yeah. Tamasi ma. Jyotirgama. Get out of darkness and come to the light. Try to see with the light of the Bhagavat what alternative. Krishna consciousness is the positive alternative. What alternative there is to our miserable, miserly, suffering condition. Yo va etad akshara garga vidit vasal vasmal loki sa, what is it? Loki praityas sakripanaha. That means that he is a miserly man who quits this world like the cats and dogs without understanding the science of self-realization. So, at this point, I would like to, because Srila Prabhupada, in the verse, in the purport here, in today's verse, as nicely put by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, param drisva nivartante, once having directly experienced the Supreme, one will not return to material pleasures. So we can have a quick look at that verse. I can find it. Two fifty-nine. Yeah, here it is. Okay. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasa varjam rasopyasya param drisva nivartante. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. And consciousness means Krishna consciousness. So, in the purport, we can read the purport because these are Prabhupada's instructions, and I think that it's important that especially in this portion of the 10th canto where we're not hearing directly Prabhupada's purports on these verses of the 10th canto and heretofore up to the 12th canto. It's important that we bring in Srila Prabhupada's pertinent instructions so that we can also directly hear from Srila Prabhupada. And that may be deemed as the expertise of the speaker. Unless one is transcendentally situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. The process of restriction from sense enjoyment by rules and regulations is something like restricting a diseased person from certain types of eatables. The patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his taste for eatables. Similarly, sense restriction by some spiritual process like Astanga Yoga in the matter of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyan, etc. is recommended for less intelligent persons who have no better knowledge. But one who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord Krishna in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness no longer has a taste for dead material things. Therefore, restrictions are there for the less intelligent neophytes in the spiritual advancement of life. But such restrictions are only good until one actually has a taste for Krishna consciousness. When one is actually Krishna conscious, he automatically loses his taste for pale things. So to facilitate our having a taste for Krishna consciousness, Shukadeva Goswami has narrated these pastimes of Rasalila in his Bhagavat discourse for the benefit of Maharaj Parikshit and all posterity to come. And also for the purpose of facilitating the conditioned soul's attraction to his lotus feet, by which they can hope to have a taste for Krishna consciousness. Sri Krishna himself, along with his consort Radharani and all of his friends and relatives, has exhibited this Rasa Lila and other such beatific pastimes on this earthly plane as the Boma Lilas or Prakat Lilas of Krishna. So it's important for us to recognize the purpose of this whole thing. Furthermore, at this point, I think that we may divulge this information, which is directly coming from the predecessor acharyas. Here in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's, I've reiterated, but it is proven, substantiated, that there were others than devotees seated in the assembly. Because this is with reference to verse number 27 that we previously read. Now Parikshit Maharaj, noticing the development of doubt in the hearts of various persons seated in the assembly who possess different kinds of mentalities, namely karmis, jnanis, and so on, inquired in order to uproot such doubts with the verse beginning Samstapanaya. So this shows that Vishwanath is aware of the fact that there were others than devotees. Certainly they were not pure devotees. Certainly they were not let's say highly elevated above the influence of the three modes of material nature. But it is to be understood that why they were there is because they were interested to hear the conclusions from the authority Sukadeva Goswami in that assembly. So that made them qualified because of their inclination to hear from authority. And there's some interesting interesting passages in the commentaries here on verse number 36, and I'm reading this because it is important to the discussion on verse number 39. 36 reads that when the Lord assumes a human-like body to show mercy to his devotees, he engages in such pastimes as will attract those who hear about them to become dedicated to him. That's the whole purpose of Sukadeva Goswami's presentation of the Rasa Lila, is to make it possible for persons to become attracted to those pastimes and thus become dedicated to the lotus feet of Krishna. So, I'll read Jiva Goswami's commentary on this verse, and then we'll move into Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's. So Jiva Goswami is asking, but why does he come, he who is fulfilled in all desires? Why is there a tendency to engage in pastimes? For what reason is he engaging in pastimes if he's already self-fulfilled? And why even more does he engage in such affairs which to worldly eyes are contemptible? This is replied to in the verse beginning Anu. Of course, it hasn't really been mentioned, but the real purpose of Shukadeva Goswami's presenting this Rasalila chapter and Krishna's manifesting these leelas in this world is to display the supremacy of his transcendental Parakya Ras. Without understanding that from which the perverted reflection is reflected, it will not be possible for us to actually understand the true nature of the perverted reflection itself. It is as if we're chasing after shadows, trying to understand a shadow without understanding the substance, which is the cause of the shadow. Just like you see my hand is, see, over here on the Vyasa-san, you can see there's a shadow. But an intelligent person, he doesn't simply concern himself with the shadow or trying to understand the shadow, but he can only understand the shadow if he is able to understand there's a substantial cause for the shadow's manifestation. So it's necessary to understand the substance in order to actually understand the shadow. Otherwise, we simply engage in shadow boxing, so to speak. Better to box with the substance. Instead of dancing with shadows, dance with the substance. If we take, this is an interesting point coming out here now, because Jiva Goswami is admitting that in some editions of the Bhagavatam, rather than the word bhaktanam, a word bhutanam is used. Now, there's no discussion as to why it may be possible that there would be, you know, one word used and another word used, which was actually used by Shukadeva Goswami. But he's admitting that, and he's giving credence to it also. He's saying that if we take the alternate reading, bhutanam, instead of bhaktanam, it is by association with the devotees that others receive his mercy. Or else, let him enjoy like this eternally, but he should do so in private. Why does he reveal this, these intimate affairs before persons of this material world? This is answered. In order to show mercy to his devotees who are present in the material world, he assumes a human-like form, one which resembles those of mankind. Just like a partial manifestation, expansion of his Virat Roop. Manifesting in that form, he is actually appearing in his direct internal identity, because by whose very nature he has a whose or his anyway very nature he has a human-like form to enjoy his pastimes, which are eternally realized as full of perfect existence, knowledge, and ecstasy. And the actual power of such manifestations of the Lord as a human being are described by the word beginning Yashrutva. The implied completion of the idea here is Jiva Goswami's opinion now. The implied completion of the idea here is that even someone other than a devotee becomes dedicated to the lotus feet of Krishna by hearing these pastimes. And particularly, this is concerning with the pastimes of Krishna's Prem Rasa Kila. So, or his love dalliances with the gopis. So he's saying the implied completion of the idea here is that even someone other than devotees becomes dedicated by hearing them, by hearing the pastimes of Ras Lila, if they are heard from bona fide authorities. So Vishwanath says, his commentary on this verse is that with what intention in mind does he do that which appears to be contemptible? This second question is answered by the verse beginning with Anu. To show mercy to his devotees, he accepts such pastimes, hearing about which the jiva soul, who has assumed a human body, becomes devoted to him, develops faith focused upon him. In distinction to others of his pastimes, these pastimes in the conjugal mood have such an inconceivable potency, like that of magic jewels, mantras, or powerful medicinal herbs. Such is to be understood that these pastimes of Krishna's Rasa Lila are the most powerful in the matter of showing mercy, not only to his devotees, but to the fallen conditioned souls. And similarly, his principal reason for assuming a human body is to give his devotee the opportunity to associate with him. So now we will hear the commentaries of Sridhar Swami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on the 39th verse, which is the verse that we're studying today. And you will be able to see from these are some excerpts from the commentaries here. There's a more elaborate commentation or description of the commentaries, but our BBT translators and commentators, they have extracted what they accepted to be more pertinent to the discussion. But there is more. There are some more details, but the gist of the thing is given here. And if we have a little more time, or if you allow me a little more time, then we can read from another section which is inclusive of more details. Now there's more and more disturbances, so you have to focus a little more attentively. I wish they would put bafflers on the generators so that it's not so loud. By hearing, chanting, and so on of the Rasa Lila of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which was his conquest over lust, this Rasa Lila chapter is Lord Krishna's conquest over the lust manifested in this material world. This is the way that he conquers the lust in the hearts of the conditioned souls. And to deny the conditioned souls the opportunity to hear this is a great discrepancy in the matter of preaching Krishna consciousness. That is why Srila Prabhupada, in the early days, translated this Krishna book to give the conditioned souls an opportunity to access these leelas so that he could hope to actually act as a fully empowered representative of Krishna's purpose in conquering the lust of this material world. He was afraid that he may depart from this world before he came to this section in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. And in fact, it was so. And so we're very grateful to him for presenting Krishna book at the early stages in our Krishna consciousness, so that we may read the stories about Krishna The conditioned souls there was one of my god brothers. He found a Krishna book in a trash can because he was like a beggar who was scrounging around the backside of a supermarket, you know, for rotten vegetables and things which he could hope to get from a trash can so that he could clean them off and then cook them up, you know, outside the produce section of the supermarket. They throw out their old refused vegetables and fruits. I used to do the same thing. I accepted it as the mercy of God because I didn't have to work and I didn't have to pay for nothing. So I was, in certain respects, liberated from that anxiety. But this devotee was also, let's say, in the same mode of existence. But just so happened that one day as he was rummaging through the refuse in the dumpster behind the supermarket, he found a Krishna book. And he read this Krishna book. And when he came to these chapters, he became so, inspired that he immediately searched out the devotees and joined the Krishna consciousness movement. He told me about these things. Actually, I gave him the first Bhagavad Gita, but he had already gotten Krishna book, you know, without paying anything for it, just like he wasn't paying anything for his sabjis and fruits. So he got the Krishna book, you know, but it wasn't that because he didn't pay for it, you know, that he wasn't interested in the subject matter, because the Krishna book was presented so beautifully, with nice pictures and everything. It was so enchanting and attractive that it roused his curiosity, and as he read on and on, he became more and more inspired in Krishna consciousness. In other words, it awakened within him his faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Krishna, this Rasalila of Krishna, was his conquest over lust. One gains the result of conquering over lust, as stated by the verse Vikriditam, which is our today's verse. Quickly becoming sober, one drives away, rejects the disease of the heart, which is lust, by hearing these chapters about Rasalila. Vishwanath Chakravarti, that was Sridhar Swami. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the result of hearing and chanting about the Rasalila, which is the crest jewel of all pastimes, is itself the crest jewel of all results, as stated by the verse beginning Vikriditam. By the use of the word cha, we understand, as implied also, his pastimes with the gopis, as described in other verses by other poets. This means that hearing and chanting. So he says, one who hears or describes. He's not just saying that one should hear and describe only the things which are written in the direct verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, but that one may also describe in his own choice poetry the same pastimes following the principles of disciplic succession. The name Vishnu is used with the idea of his all-pervasiveness, as stated by the words Tasam Sadye Vayor. I can't read it. What is it? Anyway, Dvayo, I think it's saying. The word nu expresses certainty, or else it means if one hears every day, anudinam, these pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, that one should hear every day, as a daily sadhana, one should hear about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. Or else, if one describes or chants, or else uses his own poetic ability to express them in poetic form. Attaining devotional service characterized by prema, by the suffix tva, the idea is that first of all, the candidate, even if he has the heart disease of material desire, even if he has this heart disease, he becomes imbued with prema. Even if he has the heart disease, he first becomes imbued with prema. Then, by prema's effect rising within the heart, the disease of the heart is destroyed. This implies that such prema, unlike the process of jnana yoga, is not inadequate or dependent on anything else. Lust appearing as the disease of the heart means the particular lust. He's giving an alternative meaning here. He's saying that on one hand it is described that lust means material lust. But in this case, he's saying that lust, another meaning of the word lust, is that kama praya, or lust which has the Supreme Lord as its object. Because you will read in the Krishna book chapter called that Krishna pleases his devotees. In this chapter, there's the description of Kubja's relationship with Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions in his purport to this discussion that one should not try to enjoy Krishna. We are to be enjoyed by Krishna. But the tendency of the soul, because the soul is endowed with the false Purusha Abhiman, or the mentality, the false or the misconception of oneself being the enjoyer, the tendency of the conditioned soul is to think that he's the enjoyer of everything that he surveys. He's the master of or the controller, the enjoyer, etc. So it may be possible for one to upon seeing the beautiful form of Krishna, it may be possible for one to think to be the enjoyer of that beauty, to be the enjoyer of the beautiful form of Krishna. Just like one time Srila Prabhupada was in the temple room, and a devotee came up to Srila Prabhupada and told to Srila Prabhupada that, "Srila Prabhupada, Krishna is so beautiful, isn't he?" And Prabhupada turned to the devotee and said, "You're not seeing the beauty of Krishna. You're seeing the beauty of a woman." So this was an eye-opener when Prabhupada said that. That what is he seeing? He's seeing an object of his sense gratification. So it is mentioned that, as Prabhupada states in his comment on this section in the Kubja Lila, Kubja Krishna Lila, that especially for one who is endeavoring to cultivate the Madhurya Ras, he should not take the attitude of being the enjoyer of Krishna. Rather, Krishna is our enjoyer. And that one who has this attitude of trying to enjoy Krishna, that his mentality must be reformed. Especially in consideration of our progress to the Brajalilas. Because there's no question of that mentality conforming to the actual requirements of one who is to be purified in his love for Krishna, to the selfless degree which is necessary for admittance into the Braja Leelas. The Braja Gopis never think of themselves as enjoyers of Krishna. They always think how to be enjoyed by Krishna. They dress themselves nicely for Krishna's pleasure. Their very mannerisms and their bodily beauty, everything that there is about them is dedicated for the pleasure of Krishna. So he's saying here that this, by hearing these pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, Vishwanath is saying that this type of lust, which has Krishna as its object, is removed. Because this type of lust, which is having Krishna, it is almost mundane lust. That's why it's called Kama Praya. It is almost mundane lust. It is not exactly mundane, because Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Personality of Godhead, is the object of that lust, and Krishna is all spiritual. So by associating with Krishna, it's expected that one will gradually become purified. As when Kubja, enjoyed by Krishna, first Krishna grabbed her by her hands, and then he placed his feet on her breast. And by doing so, she was purified of the mundanity, the mundane aspect of her lusty affairs. But still, her lust was not the Kamarupa bhakti of the gopis, the Braja gopis. So she could not gain entrance into the Braja Leelas. Kubja is the personification of the Purusha Shakti of Krishna, which is only active within this material world. And as such, those who follow Kubja's bhav of trying to be the enjoyer of Krishna, they will remain with her in this material world and will not be able to access the spiritual realm of Golok or Braja. So Vishwanath is telling here that lust, which has the Supreme Lord as its object, is removed, because when the devotee has experienced the nectar of pure love, which is devoid of the enjoying propensity, that lust obstructs the pure prema. He understands that lust, which is aimed at Krishna as the object, that this type of mentality obstructs Kevala Bhakti. Sri Guru Charan Padma, Kevala Bhakti Sadma. That our Guru Varga, or our family of or our Guru Parampara, our acharyas in this line, propagate, advocate pure unalloyed devotion. Kevala means exclusive, only devotion, without any admixture of any desire for material or spiritual satisfaction of one's own. Personal satisfaction is not a consideration in the matter of cultivating Braja Bhakti. Only Krishna's satisfaction. Only the satisfaction of Krishna's devotees. Dhira means pandit, one who is free of the foolishness of thinking. Now, this is very important and very interesting also. Who is a pandit? A pandit is one who is free of the foolishness of thinking. How can prema arise within the heart still diseased? A pandit is one who knows the power of, or the independent volition of Bhakti Devi. Bhakti Shakti has its own power, which overpowers the power of Mahamaya. If the power of Bhakti Shakti is not more powerful than the power of Mahamaya, then how is it possible for one to take shelter of Krishna. Mam evaye prapadyante, mayam etam tarantite. How is it possible that by taking shelter of Krishna via media, bhakti, or devotional service, that one easily overcomes the influence of maya? So, bhakti makes its appearance first within the heart. And by the influence of bhakti, the subordinate, just as we were reading in Bhagavad Gita, we were reading how it is that param drisva nivartante, raso varjam rasopyasya, that one gives up the lower taste by experiencing the higher taste. That is the meaning of Srila Prabhupada's example that one should pour in the milk, pour the milk into the cup of ink in order to drive out the ink. It is not that we empty out the ink first, because after all, we're in an inky atmosphere, especially in this Kali Yuga. So we require a denser substance. When we pour the denser substance into the cup, which is containing a, let's say, thinner substance, then the denser substance, being heavier, being more weighty, being guru, that denser substance drives out the lighter substance. And this is the proper way. This is the meaning when we say, as Rupa Goswami has said, that anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma dinavritam anukulena krishnanushilanam. Hare Krishna. Anukulena krishnanushilanam. This portion of the verse, because this verse is describing what is uttama bhakti. So, in this verse, there's a description of both the sarup lakshana, or the primary characteristic, the own form. Swarup means own form, which is the primary substantial characteristic of uttama bhakti, and it also describes the tatastha lakshana, or the marginal characteristic, which is seen to be as the side effect. It's the side effect of the application of the principle of anukulena krishnanushilanam, which is the primary form of uttama bhakti. So the positive alternative, Krishna consciousness as the positive alternative, is not that we take to the process as do the jnanis, neti neti. We're not saying not this, not this, not that, not this, not that, not this. But rather, we're saying that it is this. Now you attach yourself to the primary substance of what is uttama bhakti, and as a concomitant result, it will be seen that automatically you will understand what it isn't. Just like as we gave the example before, when you will understand the substance of my hand, then automatically you'll understand that the shadow is not the hand. By seeing the substance, you will automatically understand the uselessness of the shadow. When you see the utility of the substance, the substance has value, whereas the shadow has relatively very little value, if any. So in that way, by concerning ourselves primarily with the sarup lakshana of uttama bhakti, automatically, as a consequence, we will become freed from our attachment to those things which are detrimental to our progress on the path of prema dharma. So he's saying here that Dira means pandit. And pandit means one who is free of the foolishness of thinking, how can prema arise within the heart when the heart is still diseased? Consequently, the word shadanvita means that the devotee does not accept the so-called love of those who lack faith in the revealed scriptures and are offenders against the Lord's holy name. Rasalila is like the smile Rasalila is like the smile of the intimate devotee who is the most victorious on account of her ability to bring Krishna under her control. So it is the smile of whom? Rasalila chapter is the smile of whom? Huh? No, it's talking about one particular devotee. Srimati Radharani. Rasalila is the smile of Srimati Radharani. Sometimes it's said that Rasalila is the smiling face of Krishna, because we see that the first canto, second canto are like the lotus feet, and then onward up and up to the smiling face, which is compared to the tenth canto. And it's described that these Rasalila chapters are the actual smile on the smiling face of Krishna. But here Vishwanath, he says that Rasalila is actually the smile of Srimati Radharani. So anyhow, I think that because this, what time is it? It's almost 10 o'clock. In this, we could have read here. Here's Vishwanath's. I mean, no. This is Krishnadas Kaviraj's commentary in Chaitanya Charitamrita on this verse, text number 36, where it is saying, "Bhajate tadrisha kridaya shrutva tat paro bhavet." So bhavet, he's saying. He's saying, in order to bestow mercy upon the devotees as well as the conditioned souls, Bhagavan Sri Krishna manifests his human-like form and performs such extraordinary pastimes, Rasalila, that anyone who hears of them becomes exclusively devoted unto him. So, in his explanation of this verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj points out that the verb bhavet is in the imperative mood. This means it is compulsory for the jivas to hear such pastimes. The jivas must hear such pastimes. It is not that we should shy away from the pastimes, but we must hear with the proper mood, with a desire to know the truth about Krishna. What is Krishna? You know, what is Krishna's Madhurya Leela? Krishna's Madhurya, his Rupa Madhurya, his Leela Madhurya, his Venu Madhurya. And what else? One other? No, I said, huh? No. Anyway, I'm forgetting. So anyway, to understand Krishna, what is it? I said that too. Huh? What? I already said that. There's one more I'm forgetting. Anyway, Dham Madhurya. Yes, everything about Krishna is Madhurya.
As a matter of fact, Vishwanath in another place says that anyone who doesn't know the Madhurya heart of Krishna hardly knows Krishna at all. So it is important for us, if we want to know about Krishna, just like, of course there's no time and I didn't bring the book here, but Brihat Bhagavatamrita is so nice. If you've not read Brihat Bhagavatamrita, I strongly recommend, because Srila Prabhupada says that anyone, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that anyone who wants to know about Krishna, Krishna's devotees and pure devotional service must read Brihat Bhagavatamrita. You must read. When you will read Brihat Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami, then you will have a revolution, a change of heart, and you'll begin to understand something about the sweetness of Krishna, the sweetness of Krishna's heart, how he has a small corner of his heart for every one of us. And when you will understand these things, then Krishna will become so dear to you. And when Krishna becomes dear to you, then you'll naturally, again and again, want to hear about Krishna's Lila Madhurya, his Rupa Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, and what was the other one? I can't remember. Anyway, he's surrounded by loving devotees, but what is that? Sangha Madhurya. But that indicates his pastimes. Anyhow, whatever. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is telling that this word bhavet means that it is imperative that one must hear these pastimes. And as it was previously pointed out, this anudinam means daily, every day, following in the footsteps of the predecessor acharyas, following the conclusions of the Guru Parampara, following the Bhagavat Siddhanta. And one must hear daily, regularly. Anudinam, din means day. So every day one must hear about these pastimes, especially when one has, begun to develop an appreciation for the sweetness of Krishna, especially when within one's heart the dearness of Krishna has begun to sprout, by which a lobha, a greed to be associated with that aspect of Krishna, with that aspect of Godhead, has the spark. Because just as we hear how it is the responsibility of the spiritual master that when he sees the spark of devotion, what is that spark? That spark is Shraddha. So when he sees the spark of devotion within the heart of a candidate, that he carefully fans that spark into a raging fire. If the spiritual master neglects to do that, then he's actually not doing his job. He must do the work of fanning the spark of Shraddha into a fire. It is like sometimes to increase the fire of digestion, just like a boy may tug on the sari of his mother, you know, saying, "Mommy, mommy, I'm hungry. You know, I want a cookie, like that. But the mother will say, "No, it's not your dinner time. Go play." You see? So then the boy will go away and try to play, but then he's becoming more and more, hungry. And so he comes running back to his mother saying, "Mommy, mommy, you know, I'm hungry. And again she says, "You know, it's not your dinner time. Go play." So sometimes we see that the spiritual master will when the devotee comes forward out of curiosity, perhaps, and inquires about such pastimes as Krishna's dalliances with the gopis, or inquires about his or her own constitutional relationship with Krishna, the spiritual master may say that it's not time for that yet. Just keep chanting your snick snick ram rams without offense. You know, and so we go on with our, okay, well, anyway, snick snick ram ram. You know, and then again, you know, the anxiety mounts in our heart. So that anxiousness to know thyself, the anxiousness to discover the eternal loving reciprocation between ourselves and Krishna, because after all, there's no meaning to our involvement with any of this, you know, if it isn't expected that these desires, these hopes and aspirations for actually coming to the position of realizing our eternal relationship with Krishna, which is called as self-realization, if these activities will not come to, or these desires will not come to our heart, then what is the meaning of sadhu sangha? What is the meaning of bhajan kriya? So this increased anxiety, this increased desperation to know the truth, to discover our own heart's affair with Krishna, these things, this anxiety and desperation, this is indicative of the increased digestive power. So it is not that the mother will again and again reject the son's proposition ad infinitum. The son will again come and tug on the mother's sari and say, "Mommy, mommy, I'm hungry, I'm hungry." You know, at a certain point, the mother has to relent, recognizing that the disciple needs nourishment. It's not that we go on starving and starving and starving our disciples, you know, on the plea of increasing the digestive power. You know, he needs nourishment. And sometimes nourishment cannot be greatly appreciated, so greatly appreciated or assimilated, unless there's at least some appetizers given in the beginning of the meal. So we may not be on the platform by which we can actually assimilate or take nourishment, because that is pushti. Pushti marg means the rag marg, the path of nourishment. But if we, because we may not be having sufficient greed within our hearts with which to digest or assimilate the nourishment, but at the same time, to increase that digestive power, there's necessity for the spiritual master or the sadhus in the sadhu samela. There's necessity to time to time give some appetizers to promote a healthy digestion of the subject matters. In the future, we may not be so qualified. Who is qualified? Hardly anyone is qualified. But it is not that we should not administer, not that we simply starve our our dependence ad infinitum on the plea of increasing his digestive power, when perhaps we ourselves don't have sufficient digestive power. Perhaps ourselves we have not been sufficiently nourished. Perhaps we're not, you know, in a very healthy state and posing as guru, etc. Perhaps we're not sufficiently knowledgeable even of the subject matters to let's say, serve, to enlighten our dependents, our disciples, etc., or our associates. Perhaps we're not, let's say, having the faith. Perhaps we are not pundit. Perhaps we're still possessed of the misconception that we cannot hear these topics because we're not completely freed from all anartas. We're not completely freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature. Perhaps we're still possessed of such a misunderstanding. If someone has to be completely free from all anartas, or completely free from the influence of the material nature, before he can hear these topics, you know, then it means that he has to already have a spiritual body. Because only when one gets the spiritual body in the eternal leelas of Krishna, is he completely freed from all anartas. As a matter of fact, simply not having a spiritual body is an anarta. So as long as one doesn't have a spiritual body, he is not completely free from all anarthas, even if he's a Premika Bhakta. The Premika Bhaktas also are within this world as sadhan siddhas, or the bhavukas, who are having reached the stage of bhava bhakti. They have attained their sthai bhava, realization of the eternal rasa, the eternal relationship with Krishna in ideal. So they're also not completely free from all anarthas. Because as described in Madhurya Kadambini, we've gone through it before, but to shortly reiterate, Madhurya Kadambini describes that all anarthas arising from the chanting of the offenses against the name are not eradicated until one achieves the complete shelter of Krishna at the stage of Vastu Siddhi. They're not absolutely eradicated. That is why many of the gopis were locked in their rooms. It's a very simple thing. A child practically can understand this. But those who are too complicated in their thinking, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple. But those who are too complicated, they will find every reason in the world why it is that we shouldn't be discussing these pastimes. They'll say so many things which are indicative of the impropriety of their thinking. I could read a little more. Bhutanam iti pate, etc. It is described that anyway, I'll just read. You'll get the idea. It means, the word bhutanam appears in this verse, but in some, bhaktanam appears in this verse, but in some editions, the word bhutanam, we just read this, others, but there's a little more detailed explanation here. In that case, the purport would be as follows, that the Lord incarnates only for the sake of the devotees. As a result, the devotees are the root cause of the Lord's appearance. The Lord also appears in his original human-like form in order to bestow his favor upon the liberated souls, muktas, the aspirants for liberation, mumukshus, the sense enjoyers, vishayis, and all living entities in accordance with their relationship with the devotees. This is, I'm reading here a translation from the full purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this verse. And you may, if you remember, and if you don't remember, you can again read Srila Prabhupada's introduction to Krishna book, wherein he reiterates, basically summarizes all of these points that are mentioned in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport. The word anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashrita indicates that the supreme indicates that the Supreme Lord Krishna appears in his original human-like form and performs various pastimes in order to bestow favor upon his devotees. Therefore, although Sri Krishna is satisfied in himself, aptakama, his display of kindness toward the devotees is quite appropriate. This is the distinctive characteristic of Vishuddha Sattva, pure goodness. The Lord is always prepared to reward the devotees with a result consistent with their performance of bhajan. The favor shown toward King Rahugana by Sri Jad Bharat and the Lord's favor toward me, Shukadev, illustrates this. In this verse under discussion, it is said that the Lord manifests his form and pastimes in order to bestow favor upon his devotees. The word bhakta used here refers to the Vraja Devis, the gopis, the Vrajvasis, that is, if we're going to take the word bhaktanam instead of bhutanam. The Vraja Devis, meaning the gopis, this word refers to these, the Vrajvasis, the residents of Vraja, and all other Vaishnavas, past, present, and future, in order to bestow favor upon the Vraja Devis, Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, lovingly executes such pastimes as Purvarag, the attachment in anticipating of meeting Krishna prior to union. To bestow mercy upon all the residents of Vraja, he enacts his birth and other pastimes, and by all of his activities, he bestows favor upon past, present, and future devotees through the medium of hearing Lila Katha. Sri Krishna manifests all these pastimes to benefit the devotees. By doing so, even ordinary persons other than devotees, here is Vishwanath's commentary again. This is all Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, but we previously read this commentary in the BBT's sampling. By doing so, even ordinary persons other than devotees who hear even the more common of the Lord's pastimes become fully intent upon the Lord. Therefore, by hearing the supremely ambrosial rasalila, ordinary persons will certainly become exclusively devoted to the Lord. Ordinary persons. We're talking about ordinary persons hearing these pastimes, and that they will become exclusively devoted to the Lord. So, where's the question of there being any impropriety in our having discussions on the Rasalila chapters in the assembly of the devotees? Of this, there can be no doubt. This fact will be elaborately discussed in subsequent verses, what we're just reading is a discussion of Vishwanath's commentary on verse 36. And in his commentary, he's saying that this fact will be elaborately discussed in the subsequent verse, Vrikriditam Vraja Vadurbir, Idan Cha Vishno, this verse that is today's verse, the word Manosam Deham Asrita may also indicate that those jivas who have attained the human form of life are able to hear all these pastimes, and thus they become exclusively devoted to the Supreme Lord. This is so because the Lord incarnates exclusively on the earth planet, Martyalok, and it is here only that worship of the Lord takes on its prominent form. Consequently, in other words, it doesn't take on its prominent form in the heavenly planets. It only takes on its prominent form, in other words, the Brajalilas only manifest on this earthly planet. That is why our birth on the earthly planet is such a great benediction and mercy of Krishna, because we have the opportunity to come to this Brajabhumi. We have to have the opportunity to hear about Krishna's pastimes on this earth planet. Because we're residents of earth, we feel especially blessed, you know, by the fact that Krishna had come amongst us to this planet earth. So we're associated with that very place where Krishna performed his intimate pastimes with his dearmost devotees, the Brajvasis. Consequently, the human beings residing on the earth planets may easily hear these narrations of the Lord's pastimes. The word bhaktanam appears in this verse, but in some other editions, the word bhutanam is found in its place. This is with reference to Jiva Goswami's commentary. Vishwanath is referring to Jiva Goswami's commentary, but he is further elucidating. In that case, the purport would be as follows. The Lord incarnates only for the sake of the devotees. As a result, the devotees are the root cause of the Lord's appearance. The Lord also appears in his original human-like form in order to bestow his favor upon the liberated souls, muktas, the aspirants for liberation, mumukshus, sense enjoyers, vishayis, and all living entities in accordance with their relationship with the devotees. The Lord's compassion is therefore said to be the cause of his appearance. Nevertheless, it must be understood that the Lord's favor toward other living entities is due only to their relationship with his devotees. In other words, the Lord bestows favor upon other jivas only because of their connection with devotees. Therefore, we have to reassert the importance of hearing from the Guru Parampara, or hearing from Sampradaya, hearing from persons who are following the principles of Sampradaya. That is why it is practically useless for anyone to hear from the Mayavadis or the ordinary men who pose as professional reciters of Bhagavatam, because Krishna only shows mercy upon those who are associated with his devotees. He doesn't show mercy upon those who are associated with non-devotees, or those who are associated with ordinary karmis or jnanis. What to speak of vikarmis? But rather, he shows mercy, and that kripa shakti manifest, you know, from the mukha padma, you could say, of the devotees, in order to impregnate the heart with the pure spiritual ideal. Without understanding the Bhagavat Siddhanta from the devotees, there's no question of the Kripa Shakti having its influence. So we could hardly expect that by hearing of these leelas from the non-devotees, Mayavadis and various other upstarts who present themselves as Bhagavat acharyas, yes. that we could hardly expect that that anyone will become attached to the lotus feet of Krishna by such hearing. In his Bhagavatam commentary, let's say, Jiva Goswami, no, excuse me, Sridhar Swami, he writes in his Bhagavat commentary that what to speak of devotees, even materialistic persons, we've already read this actually from the BBT's edition. Even materialistic persons are free from their material absorption by hearing the Lord's pastimes, and thus they become exclusively fixed upon Him. And then there's an explanation by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is a lot of stuff. I don't know whether we're going to have time to read. You want to stay till 12 o'clock? No, anyway, we might be able to finish before 11. But anyway, what else is there to do? Whoever is not interested in hearing these things have already gone, so. Unless you're still tuned in on the radio. If you're still tuned in on the radio, then I offer my prostrated obeisances to you. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this verse in his Saratha Darshini commentary. And this is some very very interesting. We already read this. But anyway, we can hear it again. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, just. No, just use the microphone. No, you must use the microphone. Why not? Then save your question for later. Because the microphone has its purpose. No, the microphone has its purpose. Anyway. She's a chaste young lady. She doesn't want her voice to be heard by the whole world. So.
I can write it.
If you can write it, okay. But it's better that you simply hear. If your writing will involve your distract your consciousness, then it's better that you simply hear what we're discussing, and you can ask it later. The Lord performs varieties of pastimes to show favor to His devotees. Having adopted the human form of life, living entities who hear these pastimes become exclusively devoted to the Lord. In other words, they develop firm faith in hearing the narrations of the Lord's activities. What more shall I say about the importance of hearing Lila Katha? And this Rasa Lila, being fully imbued with Madhura Rasa, is eminently distinguished even from the Lord's other pastimes. Like a jewel, a mantra, or a powerful medicine, this Rasa Lila is endowed with such indisputable, astonishing potency that by hearing it, all persons in the human form become devoted to the Supreme Lord. This is the importance, this is the beauty of hearing the Rasalila pastimes, is that all persons who have taken, all jivas who have taken the human form, if they will hear these pastimes from the right source, right source means that the speaker speaks in such a way as to create shraddha in the heart of the hearer. So that even if the person comes, of course we don't prefer, and we will not purposely reveal these pastimes to atheists and offenders, persons who are defiant or blasphemous of Krishna. But if someone is innocent, simple-hearted, he may be induced to have Shraddha for Krishna and Krishna's pastimes by a proper exposition on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in the context of the Leela Katha. As we see in Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Krishna book and in Shukadeva Goswami's presentation of the Bhagavad itself. There are our acharyas. Shukadeva Goswami is our Bhagavad acharya, and he's shown how to deal with these subject matters in an assembly inclusive of others than the pure devotees. That's what we can learn from studying these chapters. Not only do we see the beauty of Krishna's Leela itself, but we see how it is that the acharyas deal with the subject matter so as to disclose the truth about Krishna and to dissipate any doubts that are coming in the heart of the non-devotees. Therefore, all varieties of devotees who hear the descriptions of these pastimes will become successful and attain supreme pleasure. Can there be any question of doubt in this regard? Vishwanath is saying. So, here we will hear an extensive commentary on the 39th verse, which we're presently studying, by Jiva Goswami from his Laghu Vaishnav Toshini. Sanatan Goswami presents a commentary called Brihad Vaishnav Toshini, and Jiva Goswami, because he is, a junior, he's presenting what he calls his Laghu Vaishnav Toshini. And the whole Sanskrit is presented, but I'm not going to read it, but it's very interesting. Having concluded the narration of the Rasalila, Shukadeva Goswami became deeply immersed in spiritual ecstasy. In this verse, he describes the fruits of hearing and chanting the Rasalila, and thus benedicts all future listeners and reciters, those who incessantly and faithfully hear Sri Krishna's Rasalila with the young wives of Braja, and later recite those pastimes, quickly attains para bhakti toward Bhagavan Sri Krishna, and thus relinquish the heart disease of lust. Shradanvita means to hear with firm faith. So, as I pointed out, if the firm faith is not there, then it's the duty of the Bhagavat speaker to invest faith, to create faith in the speaker, so that the speaker will, the hearer will be inclined to hear from authority and to accept the conclusions of the acharyas. If even after speaking so many things, so much philosophy, the hearer is still not inclined to accept the conclusions of the acharyas, then what can be said? This word, Shradanvita, has been used to prevent the offense which results from mistrust, avishvas, or disregard, avagya, of the statements of the Shastras, in complete opposition to the principle of hearing with faith. So we already discussed what it really means, hearing with faith, And that means that one should be pandit. And pandit means that he should not be thinking that prema cannot first come to the heart of a diseased, conditioned soul and drive out the disease of lust. We gave the example pouring milk in to drive out the ink. So this much faith should be there, that by hearing these pastimes, one will be invested by the power of these leelas coming through disciplic succession. One will be invested with bhakti shakti, and that investiture of bhakti shakti will force out the attachments to material gratificatory pursuits. It also has been used, shadanvita, has been used to promote constant hearing. By this word, the importance of hearing has been pointed out. The words atta varnayed indicate that after continuously hearing the rasa-lila, along with other special pastimes, one will personally describe those pastimes. By upalakshana, or indirect implication, it is further indicated that after hearing and reciting, one will also remember those pastimes and take great delight in them. In other words, hearing, chanting, remembering, experiencing delight, and so on, are all implied by the words shadanvita anasrinuyat atavarnayed, to hear repeatedly with faith and then describe. Parabhakti means bhakti which follows, when this is in, with reference to this bhaktim param bhagavati, this Vishwanath is giving, Jiva Goswami is giving the meaning of what is this para bhakti, which is referred to bhaktim param. Para bhakti means bhakti which follows in the wake of the gopis of Braja. This bhakti will be, invested in the heart, which drives out any scraps of mundanity or lust from the heart. Therefore, the bhakti referred to here is prema bhakti of the highest category. The word pratilabhya, repeatedly obtained, together with the word parabhakti, indicates that first, parabhakti, possessing the distinctive characteristics of prema, is obtained within the heart at every moment in ever new variety. Thereafter, it could be said progressively, that to the degree that this parabhakti becomes manifest, to that degree, one gets disinterested in mundane affairs of this material world. Thereafter, one quickly gives up the heart disease of lust. Here, the difference between kama, material lust, as a disease of the heart, and kama, spiritual love, in relationship to the Supreme Lord, is pointed out. So sometimes the relationship is called as kama rupa bhakti. That bhakti of the gopis of Braja is called kama rupa bhakti. So that kind of kama is of the nature of prema only, as opposed to the iron-like kama of this material world. Prema is compared, or the kama of the gopis for Krishna means the golden-like desire to satisfy the senses of Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada points out in Krishna book, he says, in all spheres of activity, the principle of sense gratification is there. But in material activities, sense gratification is for the performer. But in spiritual activities, sense gratification is for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sense gratification or kama is there. The only difference is that one is of the nature of pure love, prema, and the other is of the nature of the degraded, perverted reflection of that love in the form of lusty affairs between men and women in this world. These two, namely kama, or material lust, and kama, spiritual love, these two are distinct from each other. The word kama here indirectly implies that all diseases of the heart will be quickly dispelled. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, one who is situated in the transcendental position, this is referring to the Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatma, Nasochiti Nakangshiti, Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu, Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Here again, Paro Bhakti or Bhaktim Param is referred to. But Jiva Goswami is making a very interesting point here. He says that in Bhagavad Gita, it is said that one who is situated in the transcendental position, beyond the contamination of the three modes of material nature, Brahma-Bhuta, who is fully satisfied in the self, who neither laments nor hankers for anything, and who looks impartially upon all living beings, attains paro-bhakti to me. So, Jiva Goswami is continuing to say that in this Gita verse, it is said that one attains para-bhakti only after the disappearance of the diseases of the heart. But in the above verse, text 39, in Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami is saying something which is very noteworthy in relationship to this discussion on the pastimes of Krishna's Rasalila. He's saying that one attains para-bhakti even before the departure of the diseases, the heart diseases. Consequently, it is understood that hearing and chanting of Rasalila is one of the most powerful forms of sadhana. So we'll now refer to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this same verse. What are you doing? The prefix anu repeatedly or methodically, when applied to shrinuyat, to hear, indicates constant hearing. In other words, to hear again and again. Anudinanam, which means daily. To again and again hear the pastimes. By constantly hearing from the lips of the Shravan Guru and Vaishnavas, and thereafter reciting, narrating, or describing those pastimes in poetry of one's own composition, one attains para-bhakti, or in other words, bhakti, which is of the nature of prema, or prema-lakshana-bhakti. The suffix kitva has been used in the formation of the verb pratilabhya, obtained as follows. So he's breaking it down. That prati lab plus kitva, according to the rules of Sanskrit grammar, when the suffix kitva is applied to a verbal root with a prefix, it is replaced with yap. Then the letter P is dropped, and thus the final form of the word pratilabhya is obtained. The prefix kitva is applied to the first of the two verbs performed by the same agent to show successive action. That is, having attained prema, he relinquishes all lusty desires of the heart. In this case, the first action is pratilabhya, the attainment of prema. And the second action is apahinoti, renunciation of the lusty desires of the heart. Therefore, the suffix kitva in the verb pratilabhya indicates that although lust and other evils still remain within the heart, prema bhakti first enters the heart and by its extraordinary influence or power destroys all vices to the root. In other words, hearing and reciting Rasa Lila possesses such astonishing power that the lust in the heart of the faithful sadhaka is destroyed and he attains prema. Through these two, though these two take place simultaneously, the influence of prema manifests first, and through its effect, all lusty desires of the heart are dissipated. Thus, as a result of hearing and chanting the narrations of the Lord's pastimes, one first attains prema for the Lord's lotus feet, and thereafter one's heart is liberated from lusty desires and all other contamination. In other words, he becomes perfectly pure because prema is not feeble like the process of jnana and yoga. Bhakti is omnipotent and supremely independent. The words ridyog kama indicate the difference between lusty desires of the heart and the kama in relationship to the Supreme Lord. Kama, which is in relationship to the Supreme Lord, is of the very nature of the nectar of prema, premamrita sarup, whereas the lusty desires of the heart are exactly the opposite. Therefore, these two items are distinct from each other. This is substantiated by the use of the word ridrog kama. In other words, he's saying not the premaka kama, but the ridrog kama. That kama, which is the disease of the heart, is driven out by the appearance of prema within the heart on account of hearing the pastimes of Krishna's Rasalila. The word dira means a pandit or one who is learned in the shastras. We already read, this is a reiteration of Jiva Goswami's point, but this is Vishwanath in his commentary, he's reiterating. But it's not bad to hear the reiteration, because repetition of a good thing is a good thing, and sometimes repetition is necessary, you know, to make the thing, let's say, remembered prominently in our hearts. The word dira means pandit, or one who is learned in the shastras. One who disbelieves the statements of this verse and thinks, as long as the disease of lust remains in the heart, prema cannot be obtained, is said to possess an atheistic temperament. So it is to those persons are not qualified to hear. Those persons who think that you have to be completely freed from all lust within the heart before you can hear Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, they are not qualified to hear because they don't have faith in the statements of the shastras. So perhaps they shouldn't hear. But when they awaken to the truth that by hearing these pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, that, as Prabhupada says, another secret of success is that when one is very much sexually disturbed, he should think of Lord Krishna's pastimes with the gopis and he will forget his sex urge. It is not that Prabhupada doesn't agree with this point, which is being discussed by the predecessor of charges. Prabhupada is perfectly in accord with the statements of the predecessor charges. That's why he presented Krishna book, which was distributed en masse to thousands and millions of meat-eating karmis even. In the Krishna book, Prabhupada says that those who are, pashuha, or killers of animals, animal killers, that they may not be very much attracted. Or pashu means dviparu pashuha, which refers to the two-legged animals or human beings who are attached to this atheistic temperament. Those who are attached to the atheistic temperament can be considered as basically still on the platform of dvipada pashus. Those who do not have faith in the statements of the shastras, that by hearing these pastimes, prema will enter and the ridrog will be driven out.